Hello and welcome back to another episode of Keeping Up Appearances. After last week's special episode on women's football, which we hope you enjoyed, hopefully you gave it a listen and shared it with some people. We are back to normal. We've got me and Max as always, and we are joined by Griffin this week again. And I promise we haven't only done this just to get as many reds on as possible for talk about the crisis. So how are we, lads? Are we all right?
Good.
Good. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I've got 1 week left till our term, so I know teachers don't really get much sympathy when it comes to time off work, but I'm like crawling at this point, so yeah, just got 4 more days, I can do it.
Nice.
Have Roger Williams played this week, Max?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's been a bad week in terms of football overall. So we played the day after the podcast, played against Curry College, not named after an Indian dish, named after a kernel.
Jay Griffin loves to have gone there.
Yeah, I used to play for that.
The Bab College, you know.
Yeah. Subway College.
Yeah, so we played them and it's a game where we should be winning like 4 or 5 nil. And we drew 0-0. It's just awful. Awful game. And I mean, none of them listened to this probably, so I can tell you they were fucking garbage. But we were fucking garbage.
You can't say that.
Language. We were terrible. And then we had a game on Sunday against a good side. They were like, at Harford College, they went from Division 1 to Division 3, which happens at schools sometimes. They go as an entire school, up or down divisions. So they've been really, really good. But they've had a poor season relative to their level, but we got beat 3-1. So not good. We literally got up to 50th in the country before Wednesday and plummeted after 2 games, so not a great week. I haven't even checked. We dropped to 61 after the first game, and after we lost, I'm sure we're down to like probably like 80 or 90.
Again, you probably don't know, but how many are in the country? Because like 50 in Division 3 in the US must be like very good.
In Division 3, it's 360 something.
Just in Division 3?
Yeah.
And you were 50th across every division in the country?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, we've done well. We're like, in terms of like our project, we're quite ahead of schedule. Like, we're looking like 2 years out being very, very good. Like, in 2 years' time. So, like, we're doing really well. So, considering, but we've had a couple of injuries, and that's really shown like the depth of the squad.
So, when all these crap ones leave, get some good players in.
Exactly.
They're your words, Max, not mine. That's what Matthew said, not me.
Yeah, it pretty much is it, though.
Yeah. Right. And Griffin, is it day one at the job tomorrow as well?
Yeah.
Right.
Got me bag ready.
What a week this could be.
Uniforms hanging up. Ready, lad? Yeah. It's like the first day at school.
Yeah. Are you getting a picture outside the door?
Zoomed out, yeah. Double doors.
Bifolds. Yeah. Right.
No, look forward to it. Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, no, we boss. Yeah, I'm excited for you. Go on, we'll leave it there then, and we'll get stuck into what we all really want to talk about. I know you two really want to talk about this, so we'll get stuck in. So Premier League highlights.
Southport game of the weekend, though.
You are?
Was it the Southport game you want to talk about?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. That was the most embarrassing fixture of the weekend. I'm only messing. How did he get on? Do you know?
No idea. Sorry, Sean.
You've been following him. I must have missed that one. You got knocked out the FA Cup, though. I know that. Which is so obviously the main game of the weekend, the one that impacts 2/3 of us now, is Liverpool against United. Now, as I've said many times, I don't watch Liverpool, so didn't watch it. Watched the highlights several times just to cheer me up. Go on. How was it? What went wrong?
Yeah, it was bad. Really, really bad. It, as bad as it's been for a long time, to be honest.
Performance? Did you play badly?
Yeah, we were awful. I mean, United, we made United look very, very good. I think they did play well, but you expect them to play well against Liverpool. We were just totally abject. Defensively is so poor. It's not good at all, to be honest. I don't want to, like, I'm conscious that if I say too much, Callum and the like will be all over me, you know, but it's worrying, I think, genuinely. I think if you look at the lineup, bearing in mind we just spent 400 million, it's worse than the lineup last season that he put out. And he's got players like Wirtz on the bench. It's like there's no system, there's no thought anymore. It's weird. It's like a weird time because we've got such a good squad on paper, but the performances are just so poor and have been all season, to be honest. So
can I just ask then? Yeah. Obviously, I wasn't watching Liverpool last season either, but like a few people have started to. I mean, a lot of people are jumping on Liverpool, including Liverpool fans, which, as Max, you always say, don't you? Like, they're so quick to get on them, but. Mm-hmm. Was it a case of last season then? Do you reckon Slot almost just like didn't change too much, kept going with what Klopp had done, or like what, I don't understand.
I just think like so the players like in question. So like Diaz, we've lost Diaz. Gakpo's playing instead, and Gakpo, to be fair, probably had his best game of the season, but still not very good. He's not as good as Diaz. Nunes and Isak are the two like strikers. You think Isak is better, so you're giving them. But the midfield and the defence, Kirk has it left back instead of Robertson, he's all over the place. Like, absolutely all over the place. Mitchell said he's a dog or something. He's just... And I feel a bit sorry for him because when we signed him in Frimpong, I thought, or I'm sure every Liverpool fan thought, we're going to bring back like that the marauding fullbacks that we had when we were successful with Robertson and Trent, and it's dead exciting. But he's not allowed to do that. He's playing like a completely different game. He put one cross into the box yesterday, which when he was at Bournemouth, he was doing all the time, and that's kind of like why we signed him, I suppose. And no one was there at the end of it. So it's like he doesn't know what to do. The strikers don't know what to do. It's just it's a weird dynamic. The whole setup is strange, and I agree. Liverpool fans are very quick to turn, and we can't. And saying like not necessarily questioning Slot, but it will come very soon if he doesn't get a grip. Almost, I think it's not like the fact we're losing is the problem. It's the fact we look so clueless. Yesterday, I think 75 minutes, Neville calls out and says it could be mad this last 20 minutes. We're playing 4-2-4 with Wirtz and Jones in the middle of midfield. And it's one, I think we got it back to 1-1 and United obviously go and score. But it's like Klopp would never have done that. Like, there's still got to be a build-up. There's still got to be like a security of some kind. Not just throw the kitchen sink at it to the like... You know, 100%. It's almost, and I'm not saying this because it's too soon to say it, but it's almost like he's out of his depth a little bit with the players that we've signed, I think. And he's got to fit Wirtz in because he's the gem, apparently. He's not playing Wirtz. He's signed at Frimpong. He's not playing. Ekitike looks boss. He's not playing. It's just strange, I think. Very strange. Max, please interject. It's just me talking.
No, you're right. I listened to a few podcasts afterwards. I listened to like Football Weekly and obviously Rest of Football. Everyone's very quick to praise Manchester United, first of all. Everyone's talking about Manchester United. And I thought they exploited Liverpool's weaknesses very well. It's fullbacks, obviously, and they targeted Kerkez a lot and rotated into those positions a lot. And it was just a nightmare. And the first goal, I mean, I don't know. Van Dijk had a very bad game, and I don't know if he realizes that he's not as good as he was. But obviously, he steps into midfield. It's Fernandes into McAllister, which was a head injury and probably should have got stopped, but apparently the referee missed the head injury. But either way, then almost like jogs back into position and doesn't worry about Cunha running over his shoulder. And the ball just gets slipped in and he doesn't even like accelerate to go defend that. He just lets the run happen and it's an easy goal. It's on that side with Kerkez. Kerkez is out of his depth. He's struggling massively. I said to you, Sean, 2 weeks ago, he has to start Robertson in that game. And obviously he hasn't. Last season he obviously made no signs apart from Kayser, which was, I think, in January, wasn't it? And it was all about control. Like, every game he seems to have such control and it was slow.
Yeah.
Now it's just absolute chaos constantly. Wide open, end-to-end football. And the defence isn't good enough to deal with that. Now, you go back, you're right, Griffin, about signing Frimpong and Kerkez, but we go back to, like, Liverpool when it was Fabinho, Henderson and Wijnaldum in midfield. It was a defensive midfield.
Yeah.
So you had the cover always. And now we're playing Szoboszlai, who's a runner. McAllister, who's just technical. He's not a defensive player. And Gravenberch, who really is an advanced midfielder, playing in the six. So,
yeah.
It's just
Fabinho was one of the people I was going to mention when and I've been talking to obviously like my family and whatever else about the game. We never replaced him, ever. And he was, on his day, when we were very good, he was as good as I've ever seen in that position, honestly. He was that good. He used to win everything. And as you say, cover for the fullbacks. And Henderson used to do that. Gravenberch's obviously done well in that position and kind of now almost made it his own as this, like, he carries the ball from that position right the way forward. And I think Gravenberch's an amazing player. But we haven't got anyone really like Fabinho or like when we were after that Caicedo. So just go and smash someone, just go and like, just track, go and win the ball. We haven't got that. And then when we go 1-0 down to United, which, I mean, again, it beggars belief, he then just goes like and flicks the switch and goes crazy. It's more worrying, I think, when he flicked it, that part of the game, than the fact we lost. Because if that's plan B, it's not good enough at any level.
There was times last season where we were chasing games and he would go three at the back with Van Dijk by himself with Trent and Robertson. Now it's the opposite. He's going the 4-2-4. But like you said, he's got Vert and Curtis Jones as your two midfielders.
That makes no sense.
Yeah. And it's just been a bit wild.
Against Chelsea when we equalised, it looked like we were going to go and win that game. And previously, like last season and before, and Sean will probably testify to this, we would go and win that game. Like, Liverpool would always go and win that game. It's almost like Everton fans would get annoyed by it because, like, Liverpool are going to score. Yesterday, when we got 1-1, you think, we're going to win this game. But you can't just, like, lose all responsibility. You have to have someone in the middle of the park to build it up. There's a picture. It's on Twitter, like, Kerkez has got the ball at left back and the gap between him and the next Liverpool player that he's looking for is like the number nine, and there's no midfield at all, and it's like, what? Everyone can see that that's wrong, so how is Slot with that squad he's got not going, come on? That's the bit that's, I think, a bit scary. And I think if he doesn't get a grip of that soon, they will turn on him quick. Like they will, because he's under pressure already, I think.
Do you know the way you're saying he feels out of his depth in terms of, like, with the new players? Out of his depth in terms of what to do with them, or out of his depth? Is he just trying to pigeonhole them in? Especially, like, Vert, because obviously he's the most expensive player in British history, so we've got to play him.
So, in my opinion, Max, you'll know more than me because of coaching and whatever else. But I think this season, the players they've signed, and obviously it's like a group, Slot will be involved to some extent, but they've changed it to be like Vert in the 10. We never used to play with a 10. It was always like 4-3-3, like 4-1-2. So now he's got these new players. And bear in mind, 110 million. He's got to play. You don't sign someone for 110 million on a whim. He's like the gem, and everyone said he is the be all and end all. he's benched against United because he doesn't fit in that. He doesn't fit in that three of like the midfield of energy and go and win the ball and do this and do that. It was the three he started yesterday do to an extent, but even they don't know what they're doing, I don't feel. And like the two fullbacks that he signed again, when we signed them two fullbacks, it was, I was like rejoicing because it's like when Liverpool were very good, the fullbacks were like a key part of it. And Robertson and Trent were, you know, as good as there's ever been in the Premier League. So I was thinking, I might be wrong, but I presume every Liverpool fan was thinking, we're going back to that with these two, go and attack. But to go and attack, you need that Fabinho, and we haven't got that. So I think he's quickly realised that doesn't work. So now he's got Kirkes trying to play like an inverted fullback, and it's weird, and he's not good enough to do that. So it's like I say, the players almost don't know what they're doing, and Slot kind of, he's got Isak and Ekitike. He's started Isak because he's a £140 million striker. You've got to play him. But Ekitike is like, I mean, he couldn't be in better form. Yeah. Ekitike is on a bench.
There's a good point made on Football Weekly today by one of the journalists. It seems as if like they've built this squad without Salah. So for when Salah leaves, and they're almost playing Salah because they have to. And I'm not one to think in dropping Salah ever because I think he goes through these patches and stuff. But if you look at the balance of the squad, it's almost like he's trying to build like a team that plays 3-5-2 with Ekitike and Isak as his two forwards and Wirtz behind them. And then you've got your two flying fullbacks and Frimpong and Kirkes. And then you got your midfield three the same.
Salah has been as bad as anyone this season now for Liverpool.
Oh, yeah. He's
been
poor.
So poor.
But he went through this patch midwinter last year, and the year before he had like a good few months where he went through patches where he just suddenly can't finish. He had that one towards the end where he should have just set it to Wirtz and it would have been a goal. It would have been 2-1. And he put it right at the post. And obviously we're being very negative about Liverpool. We also had plenty of chances to win that game yesterday. It could have been 2-0 immediately when Fernandes had that chance, but it could have also been like 4-2 at half time. The amount of chances we missed. So again, Manchester United were good.
You look at it like, it's not good. Like, I mean, and I agree with it. I think we hit the post three times, but we played just so poor.
Yeah, like, I was saying in Chelsea, we had the chances, but we just not playing well. It's so unbalanced and no real idea, which is a bit of a shame. I just can't think of the lineup he picks next because I agree. I think Ekitike should be playing. I think Chiesa, every time he plays, is impactful. He came on and he set the goal up straight away. Frimpong came on and we should have scored straight away. He put that cross into Gakpo. Gakpo's a weird one because I like him, but I like them as a player coming off the bench or a player starting every now and then. So I'm surprised he hasn't thought about putting Wirtz on the left because he can do that and he has played that position before or putting Isak or Ekitike out there rather than going with Gakpo because I know, was it last season, season before, Nunes hit the bar twice and hit the bar and hit the post twice in a game or four times he hit the woodwork and he got absolutely roasted for it. Gakpo hit it three times yesterday and scored and he missed a sitter. And he almost missed the goal, by the way. Open net, he put it in the side netting.
Yeah,
he's in the middle of the goal.
The chance he misses at the end is like, I mean, I genuinely, honestly think us three would. You get it on target. It's a free. It's a header at 6 yard box.
I can't stress enough how much I wouldn't get it on target.
No, but I'm saying like it's a cross ball. He's literally the 6 yard box. He's got to head it on target. He had it wide. Yeah. I think you could head it towards the net.
I would say about Man United though, like I know a few weeks ago we were talking about like this would be the game where he gets sacked and stuff. I think he saved himself for at least a few months now because they were tactically better, but they exploited Liverpool very well. And then there's also a case for the way the Premier League's going. It's going very direct, very big, and Liverpool cannot handle it. Which is a worrying sign going forward. He's going to have to sign a centre-back in January for certain.
Well, I'm going to go on 2 points here. I'll go back to Liverpool before we move on to United. But The first one is, do you know Tom Kirk? He's like, obviously, I've not seen him at Liverpool, really. Is he being let down by Van Dijk in a way? As in, like, because obviously he's that side, isn't he? And Van Dijk's not having the season everyone thought he... Well, maybe the season that people expect of him. Has he going to kind of help him out a bit more there? Like, there's loads of derbies I've watched. And, like, say if I'm watching, like, Andy Robertson or something, I reckon Van Dijk must be the worst fella to play against. Not even, like, just being bitter as a blue here. He's just horrible. Like, it's like I get the vibe off him. He can do no wrong. It's everyone else's fault. That's what I get just from watching him play. And I feel like Andy Robertson, all game, he's getting moaned at. Van Dijk's pointing where he should be. Van Dijk's moaning and Van Dijk's constantly just a big knack about it. Andy Robertson seems like, obviously, he's Scottish captain. He's an experienced player. He can probably handle it. Can Kirk has handle it? If Van Dijk's either kind of being a bit heavy-handed, or if he's not at all, he probably needs a leader there, which I don't know if Van Dijk is being, you know what I mean? I might be wrong.
Well, listen, yeah, you're playing for Liverpool in the Premier League. You've got to be able to expect that. You're going to get shouted at by somebody.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, but then, again, it's the irony of Van Dijk being a fault for the first goal. And the whole, back line for that second goal, how slow he's reacted to that ball coming back in. I can't believe that was like the Premier League champions who were doing that.
I actually think Van Dijk looked... Sorry, go on.
Just on the second goal, the other thing to that is the chaos part of it. There's four players who immediately exited the box for a counter-attack and we hadn't even got the ball. Like, it was back with them.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So, it's like you were watching the game, were you? Like, maybe, I don't know, you knew what you needed to do, but no one was aware of where the ball was. By the time it floats in, he was on his own.
I was going to say, I think Van Dijk has had a poor season because of Kirk, because he's having to do so much to cover for that. And Konate as well has been as bad as you've ever seen him. So I agree, Van Dijk, like what you said there about like that, there is an arrogance to him, definitely, and he's barking orders and that. But I mean, I think he's the one who controls the back line, so I think he should be barking orders. But I think he's been made to look poor because Kirk is so bad. Yeah. Like that first goal, there's no, he's not seeing that Mbeumo behind him, so he's like jogging, which is wrong. But the pass that comes from, I think it's Ahmad,
yeah,
down the line, Kirk has just let him do it. It's like he just watches it go past him. So with the best will in the world, even if Van Dijk's back in position, I don't think he gets to it because I don't know. I think Van Dijk looks worse this season because he's having to do so much more for the rest of the defence.
Yeah, maybe.
Personally,
and he hasn't had to do that for years, I suppose.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
Robertson's unbelievable as a defender, like a defensive left back as well. He was boss, and Konate or Matip, who's been next to him, have always been solid. I thought was now Konate looks to be fair, yesterday actually he was half decent, but this season he looks like he doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't.
Let's see. Yeah, we're in times. I do think we will get it right eventually. I think the chances of winning the league now they've dwindled. I think it's Arsenal to lose. I think City will be there or be thereabouts. So I'm looking like you're looking at the Champions League or the FA Cup now and thinking second half of the season, we've got to make sure we get it right by then. And you know, PSG are an example. They were a very poor team in the early half of the year last season. They finished. They were the lowest side in the league phase because that's why we played them. And they go on to win the competition. So we can be optimistic. We'll get it right. I still think
we'll win the league.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Confident. Why?
Well, Arsenal will bottle it because they always do. City look decent, but not anything special, I don't believe. And I think, as you said, I think it will click eventually, whatever that will be. I mean, how many games have gone? 10? There's still 20. How many games have been played?
Not even 10, I don't think, has that?
Eight, nine. So, I mean, there's still a long, long way to go. And Liverpool have done it in the past, really win however many games on a bounce.
Is it just Salah you're losing for AFCON as well? Like,
I don't think that'd be a bad thing.
Yeah.
He's been absolutely shite.
At least you've got a reason to play without him then, haven't you?
Yeah. We'll see.
I was going to go back to United then, Matt, the way you were talking about how football's kind of going a bit more direct. I was going to say, like, how do you two feel about the kind of recent trend of football going a bit more like it was 15 years ago, where, like, people are using long throw-ins, people have got big strikers now, and they're being the target, man. Even, like, I feel like Everton with the trailblazers in this by deploying Michael Keane as an emergency striker, but it seems to just be a bit more of a thing now where you just put the big man up front, which we moved so far away from that. Is that something you like about footy, or is it... And I know you've said Liverpool can't handle it, but I don't even mean that from a Liverpool point of view. Is that something you like in the game, or were you more of the purist side of it? You like the Pep Guardiola, like Callum? I know Callum does.
Yeah, hipster, you mean?
Yeah.
I like it, and I think from a coaching perspective as well, like everything I do and we all do as coaches, it's all like build out from the back, all that style, because that's the way football's gone. And the amount of like kids who can't do it and don't develop, right, because they just don't understand football, the moment to go long and stuff. I actually like it, and I think that the people it's going to actually be detrimental to is actually England as a football nation, because that's the way they've always done it, and it never worked. And now we finally got a team who can play at the national level, and they're in the final. And now football's going away from it again and going back to route one. Like, I like it. Haaland's absolutely loving it for City, isn't he? Because that's what Manchester City is going direct into him all the time and just letting them go run riot. But I think from Guardiola's perspective, he's so intelligent and so into football that he's doing it. And I think everyone's going to copy now.
Yeah,
Arteta's obviously doing it. You're getting teams like Crystal Palace who are very successful. Liverpool play Brentford next week. They go direct. It's going to be in a struggle. I like it. It's a change. I feel a bit boring when everyone does it. And you see all the games where, like, even at the lower levels, where teams are building at the back and just giving up goals from it.
I think the thing for me, as like an Everton fan, is when, not that Everton would necessarily try and play that football, but when you are trying to, like, outmatch a City, like, it's good, especially for, like, Liverpool, especially on the clock when they had, like, the very specific way they played, and obviously it was very successful. If you're the best at it, boss, if you're not, it never works, does it? Like, you're trying to play, you're trying to copy the system off these people that you're never going to beat at it. So that's where you get, like, your Mavericks, as it were, like, when this originally came in back in the day, it was like Sam Allardyce and, like, your Tony Pulis's, who, not, don't get me wrong, didn't have long-term big success, but they got little wins against the big teams because they were playing a different way. And I feel like, obviously, United, not that United are a small team, but they've come against Liverpool, who are their bogey team, they just can't seem to beat, especially at Anfield. And they play as their own game and win. So I quite like the fact that could open up football a little bit more. It's not just.
I think Carragher said it on the overlap. He was saying, like, he mentioned Pulis and Allardyce, funny enough, where he said, like, they were the ones who played that, like, the famous long ball game, the long throw-ins. Whereas now the people who are doing it are, like, the best teams in the world, like PSG do that thing from the kickoff where they launch it, and Arsenal are doing it. So, like, it's more stylish now, and it's not like we're not playing like Tony Pulis, if that makes sense. You're playing like a brand of football that clearly works. So, yeah.
I do think it won't last very long, though. I think you'll get a couple of years out of it where the likes of Arsenal who are doing it will not win games because of it, and then you'll get teams who will start playing a different type of football to combat that again, and then it'll go away again. Because it at the end of the day, it's like it's not the most successful way of playing football, I would say. I mean, there's plenty of other ways of doing it, and it'll come around for like 2 years and it'll be successful, but then there'll be something else that will come along that'll beat it again.
Yeah. I must admit, though, I am enjoying, like, almost like the rebirth of the number nine, which
I agree.
Like, when you talk about, like, and, like, I think, was it Rooney or someone on, like, a Real Ferdinand podcast or something, we're talking about the number nines, in their era, and then you look at them now and you think, there's not that many knocking about, are there? But then the ones that are, like Haaland and Harry Kane, are having the most unbelievable season. Like, Harry Kane is incredible now, isn't he? As in, like, the numbers he's put up.
It will lead as well to, like, wingers and stuff. Like, you know, like, like old school wingers who, like, would beat the man and cross it, like, gigs and stuff, rather than, like, the thing where he, like, Grealish is a prime example. They beat it, turn back in, like, go, you know, like, keep possession rather than, like, when we were growing up, it was, if you're a winger, like, Phil Evans is the best example I can give. You have to be fast, run down the line and get it in the box. Yeah. And that's, like, that used to be a boss winger, you know, that's what Giggs did for years and Beckham and stuff. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
They were the players who, when you win the match, they don't do excited you, ain't they? Because as soon as, like, Aaron Lennon or someone got the run on someone, everyone was up out the seats because you knew what was coming. That would be boss to come back to that. But yeah, maybe
everyone's buying number nines now. When you think about it, like, obviously City have Haaland, Arsenal got Gyökeres, Liverpool got Isak, Baltimore got Newcastle, Mateta.
Yeah, although saying that, when I was watching Palace the other day, even though I know he played in 7 because of the week, something about Mateta the other day on Saturday against Bournemouth, he didn't look like a footballer at all. He just looked like a big, weird, and
he's got a funny body shape, his top half his body is,
And he's sort of he shouldn't be that good, but you're right, I suppose, Max. They're kind of where the money is now, isn't it? And people are investing. So maybe you think they might want it to go a bit, that the kind of trend to go a bit longer, because if they don't, what happens to those players? You know what I mean? You're not going to even get the resale value, are you? Because, like, all those ones you just mentioned then, big money, wasn't it? Like, Walter Mard was 70. Was Gyökeres 70 as well?
Big 75.
Right, before we move on then, while we're still on the Premier League, any other kind of highlights, big events that kind of caught your eye at the weekend?
Yeah, for Palace and Bournemouth, there's a great game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was boss.
Cross game.
Even when you predicted 3-2, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then when it came in 3-0,
I know, obviously Palace should have won with the Teta at the end, should have scored the fourth. Yeah, just they're two very exciting teams to watch. Every time I watch them, they're just
doing really good.
Yeah, Liverpool play Palace in 2 weeks, so not looking forward to that one.
Oh, in the cup. Yeah, you got them in the cup, haven't you?
Yeah.
That's Semenyo for Bournemouth. He's some player. I think I've seen again, I think it was on TalkSport, funny enough. I can't remember who said it, but saying that Semenyo would start left wing for any team in the country, and I think...
That was a bit of a debate I saw, and I know we'll probably get laughed at here, but someone put a tweet out saying that Ndiaye is the best player outside the top six, or like maybe the best attacker outside the big six teams, and then it turned into a debate of Imo Semenyo.
Ndiaye is good though, to be fair.
I mean, he was particularly good against City, which is annoying really, because it's like, come on. Yeah, exactly. They'll just go, Greg, you can have Grealish for 25 if you give us Ndiaye. But yeah.
I don't think... I can't see him going to a top six club, though, could you? Like, he's a bit like Cunha at Wolves. Like, against Man United, because Man United are terrible, but like, no one else wanted him.
Yeah. But also...
I wonder, where would he play? Who would he play ahead of in these teams? I mean, Chelsea might buy him because they buy everyone.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, like, you could, like, an Arsenal, wherever he goes, he'd be a substitute, wouldn't he? He'd be coming off the bench. Like,
he'd be like a Trossard at Arsenal.
Comes in, he'll make something happen, but he's not going to be in the first team. I think the thing is with Ndiaye as well, he seems to love it at Everton. Not that that changes much if a big money offer comes in, but his backstory is like he's playing Sunday League until like fairly decent age, then ended up kind of doing one of these like ball, like the Instagram, like all these like baller competitions, got scouted, ends up going to Sheffield United. It's like, it's a bit of like a fairy tale. In that fairy tale, sometimes it doesn't always lead to Man City. Sometimes it leads to Everton, where you can just be loved. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go and sit on the bench while City in the league. You can just be at Everton and have everyone just adore you, because you won't go anywhere else. Where, like, think with Grealish, and you can tell Grealish says every interview, like, I just love it here because everyone loves me. That's what he's saying. These love me and I love being here because I haven't had this for years. Sometimes, like, that goes a long way. Maybe not, it's not as powerful as money, but I'd love it if those two maybe proved us wrong and said, we'd like to just stay with you. It's a bit like Pickford. Pickford's been slated the like last couple of weeks for signing a new deal and said he's not ambitious. He's, if he was any good, he'd be playing for a bigger team. And you go, this same media was slagging Isak off for doing that exact thing. And then when Pickford does it, he's not good enough. And he's, I don't know. I just think, reward a bit of loyalty with a bit of respect. And some people might just want a career of playing with Rappi rather than sitting on the bench. So
there's the English bias to England bias to Pickford, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like all the English media, like, oh, it's England's number one, he should be somewhere else.
Yeah, I suppose, because like
he's playing every game and he's actually getting, you know, he's obviously happy there. Like, for a keeper, especially, just leave them alone.
But I also just like people are quick to criticize Pickford. I can't stress how good Pickford is. Like, he's honestly, I know Griffin's smirking here. Pickford is unbelievable.
Yeah, but he's got little T-Rex arms.
And that's the go-to every time. Honestly, I absolutely adore Pickford. He's just... Yeah,
I know Everton fans do love him, and you obviously watch him a lot more. I don't watch him every week, so I can't really comment, but I think he's a good shot stopper, and he plays for Everton, so he saves a lot of shots. I don't think he's a good goalie, personally. I agree with that sentiment that if he was as good as people say, he wouldn't be playing for Everton. Sorry.
But where would he be playing? Because if you now look at
Man United. Man United.
Yeah, because they've got
United have been crying out. United have been crying out for a goalkeeper for years.
Yeah.
Pickford, England number one. United signing.
Yeah, but the problem is, again, with United, they've had three good keepers in the last 25 years. So, like, this thing of, like, go to United. Why would you go to United? Why would you ever go to United as a keeper?
I still think it's a big move, personally. Like, that Cunha move, signing for Man United is a big deal. And if you're England goalie playing for Man United is... I don't want to get into the Pickford debate because I know it will just end up with me being absolutely slandered by all our friends.
As if you care about that.
And the thousand of you.
Yeah.
No, I Everton fans are almost like, we don't need to talk Pickford up. He's just broke a record for England for most clean sheets in a row of all time. No, again, you're shaking your head. People say...
It's a bollocks stat. It's just stupid stat. Who have we played?
But that doesn't make it. You can only play who's in front of you.
But you keep a clean sheet. Like, they played Andorra or something like that. It's like they should keep a clean sheet. It's like, put anyone in that goal, he would keep a clean sheet. Pickford.
That isn't true, though.
I don't think. Well, all right. Yeah, forget it.
Well, I would say about Griffin's trying to say that. I don't like when people talk about Harry Kane as being England's best ever striker because of the goals he scored. Because half of them come against Andorra and against Liechtenstein.
Ability-wise, Harry Kane is.
We've been blessed, Max. We've been blessed in this now with Alisson as a world-class goalkeeper, as in, like, as good as it gets. Pickford is nowhere near the level Alisson is. Nowhere near. He's not even in the same conversation. And if he was as good as Everton fans make out, it would be Alisson, who's a guy from City,
Edison previously,
Pickford. It doesn't even enter that conversation. It's more like Pickford, Shea Given-ish level. Good, very good, solid Premier League goalie. Nowhere near the level Everton fans make out.
I'm not getting into it, but we'll draw a line under this. I'm not claiming...
Who's better, Shea Given? Shea Given or Jordan Pickford?
Jordan Pickford.
Who's better, Sean?
Jordan Pickford, easily.
Incorrect, Shea Given. Put it to the fans.
Yeah,
this is your TikTok video. Are you pressing record now, Max? Who's better, Given or Pickford?
Okay, yeah, I'll throw that out. Do you know what? What's frustrating? That would probably be quite an even split. It probably won't be, because
Shea Given's a better goal given Jordan Pickford. Simple as that.
No, he is not. But anyway, let's just leave it there. Jordan Pickford.
Do you think Harry Kane's the best striker England's ever had?
100%.
I can name three or four better than him.
No, you can't.
Alan Shearer.
He is so good, Kane. You know, like Harry Kane gets the credit he deserves.
I think he's great, and I think he's in the, like, top five maybe. But again, half his goals for England came against fucking Liechtenstein, Andorra, San Marino, Gibraltar, whoever else you want to name. And then when it comes on the biggest stage, he gets like the World Cup. Like,
he missed a penalty.
Misses the penalty against France in the Euro. Yeah, he doesn't even play. He drops off so much deep into midfield, and it's just the last two tournaments for England, he's been crap, and he's meant to be our best player.
So I'm going off ability, and also Shearer went about 2 years not scoring for England at one point in the build-up.
And he scored.
Whatever tournament.
In the build-up to 96.
Yeah, that's right.
Euro 96, he didn't score. But then
ability-wise. Like, we're not including Rooney in this, hopefully, in terms of a striker, are we?
No. Well, Rooney's better.
Yeah, I think Rooney's better. But I mean, as a number nine, like an all out number nine.
It's difficult to say that because, like, Rooney played as a number nine for England. And you can also go back to what you said before. Football-wise, they haven't really been number nines for, like, 20 years since Alan Shearer.
Right, well...
To Kane.
Go on. In my opinion, it's Rooney then Kane. No one else.
Who's better, Shea Given or Harry Kane?
Harry Kane did go in goal one time.
Did he?
Yeah. If it's Tottenham. Right.
Anyway.
Let's leave it there. So, we will park the Premier League chat and we'll move over to our game of the day, which could go one of two ways, I would say. It's not tried and tested. This is very much the guinea pig run. So, our game today is 6 degrees of separation, which is the belief by many people that you are linked to anybody in the world via six links. So I know this person, they know him, they know him, that kind of thing. When I was younger, as a little side note, I used to make a link to everyone in the world because my cousin was mates with Nicola Roberts from Girls Aloud's brother. So for me, it was, I know my cousin knows him, he knows Nicola. Nicola knows Shello Cole, so probably going to get married. Yeah. And then realised I was ugly, so that wasn't going to happen. Right, so here's how the game's going to work. I'm going to ask Max first to pick a player from, I'd say, 90s or early noughties, just so we can get a bit of a gap. And then I'm going to ask Griffin to choose a current player. Our job, and I think I might put a little time limit on it, just so it doesn't go on forever. Our job is to make a link between those players, hopefully within six. The links have to be teammates, so they have to have played together. It can't just be, he played for Tottenham, he also played for Tottenham. They've got to have played together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you reckon is a reasonable time? I think 5 minutes.
For just one
time. How much players? Podcast you need to fill? Because this could be a good filler. 25 minutes, please.
I go five and see where we are. All we're doing is naming players. I reckon we can make some links. So
I reckon you can do it in 1 minute.
What?
If you get between two players, you just gotta get 6 degrees.
Yeah.
Like, I think you'd be able to do it pretty quick.
I'm hoping you two don't just pick like James Milner and like
he was what I was genuinely going to say,
I want you to almost like.
Doesn't have to be Premier League, does it?
Yeah, Premier League, please. Just so we can keep it. We know the links a bit better there, don't we? But yeah,
okay.
Go a bit obscure. Don't just pick like the two longest serving players of all time and go, yeah, done it in one.
Okay.
Go on. So, do you both have a player?
Yeah.
Right, go on, Max. Who's your player?
Shea Given.
Right, Griffin, who's your player?
Granit Xhaka.
Okay.
Signing the season, by the way.
Right, we've got to get from Shea Given to Granit Xhaka in less than six. Go.
We have to play with them.
Yeah, should we go giving up? Or is it better going Xhaka down?
Well, Shea Given played for City, didn't he, as well, and at the end of his career?
Newcastle, yeah.
He played with Colo Torre during his time at City.
Is that true?
I don't know. I was hoping you would know.
Yeah, I can check these things.
There's the Arsenal link, though.
The Arsenal thing would have to be Colo Torre playing with somebody else.
Yeah,
so play with probably, Xhaka.
Yeah, we can't just stick with the same club. Let's move it out a little bit. Let me see if Shea Given played with Colo Torre.
We'll just forget Shea Given and Colo Torre. Pick someone else. Pick a Newcastle player that you play with, like Lee Bowyer. Yeah?
I'm thinking of, like, do you know people like Craig Bellamy, who played with loads? So, like, because he'll have played with Craig Bellamy at Newcastle, potentially at City as well, actually. So you could go either, because I think was Shea Given the keeper during that, like, do you know that Michael Owen goal, or was that Joe Hart
when against United?
Yeah, when Michael Owen scored the winner, who was the keeper then?
I think Shea Given's before that.
Is he? Okay.
I think.
Well, if you went Shea Given, Craig Bellamy, Newcastle, and then Bellamy played for loads, and he played for Liverpool, so. When did he play for Liverpool?
You're going further back in Liverpool was 2000. He had two stints, didn't he?
Bellamy?
It was like 2007. Yeah, because he wore the Adidas sock and he tucked his collar in. I think he was there 2007 or 2006.
Okay.
No, 2007, 2008, around then. And then he came back when we won the Carling Cup in
2012. Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he scored against City in the semi-final at Anfield.
Okay. Why are you thinking of going City Shea Given then?
Probably because you're thinking, like, yeah, time-wise,
you've got to go. There. What was it, like, 2010, around then?
I thought it was when they first became, like, yeah, when he signed, like, Rubinho and stuff, Alana. He was that era, wasn't he?
Well, then,
yeah, he was.
Definitely played with, like, with Sturridge. Do you want to be in there then, would he?
I think he will have been, yeah, young, defo.
Okay.
I'm pretty certain he was.
Okay. Well, let's go with that then. If you're happy with that, see where we are then. You'll know Liverpool around there better than me.
So Daniel Sturridge at Liverpool?
Well, he played with Henderson, didn't he? Henderson played for Sunderland. I know you need to get on him.
Could you say Henderson played for England and then pick Saka and then...
No, we're not going into that. Only got 2 minutes left.
Oh, God.
Right, so Shea Given, Sturridge. Who else?
No, I got it. Yeah, Dew Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain. Xhaka. Oxlade-Chamberlain at Arsenal at the same time as Xhaka.
Was he?
He's got it. You would,
Google.
As if he was there for a while at Arsenal, I think. Probably longer than who did he used to play for a German side, didn't he? Before then, was it like?
Yeah. I'll go back again if you don't want to do that. Salah and Xhaka at Basel. Salah and Henderson.
Did he?
Yeah. There you go. Boom.
Easy, mate.
Done.
Too easy. Okay. Right.
They played in that. I think they played Man United. It might have been Salah. It might have been Shaqiri. Either way.
Oh, yeah. Either way,
there's loads. Xhaka was playing in the same game, yeah. Okay. Cool link, but he played Man United in the Champions League and got beat by them.
Right, done it in four. Fair play.
Are you going to fact check this after?
Absolutely, because they're probably all wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edit is out, yeah. Sturridge definitely didn't play at that time.
Yeah, because we've assumed he played the Shea Given.
I'm fairly certain he did, because it was when... You know, who was that centre mid? They had Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
It was that era where they had that, I think it was Thomas Cook or Thompson was the sponsor. Yeah, that like horrible light kit. It was like...
Right, I'll have to fact check that later. If you're right, fair play. Well done, Max. If you're wrong, I'm blaming Griffin because he was so certain of it. So it's on you.
If I'm wrong, just edit me out this whole thing.
I think you're gonna do that anyway, aren't you, Max?
Yeah.
Especially all the nonsense about Liverpool. Right, go on then. Let's move on to Super Six before we end the show.
Do you want to do one more? That was quick.
Oh, do you want to do another one?
Okay. In case it doesn't work.
Go on then.
Doesn't have to be Premier League, does it? Or can it just be anyone?
Go on, do you want to do anyone? Might make it a bit harder if it's your...
I've got my player.
Okay. I want to go Max first, though, because you've got yours, so don't need to change it.
Do I need to do 90s, 2000s again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with Karl Heinz Riedler.
Really? Pushing the ball there, Jesus.
Are you going? Let me in, Jamal. I was going to go.
Wow.
So, this could take six steps.
Right. Karl Heinz Riedler, when's he playing?
Well, he's at Liverpool 1997-98. He joined from Dortmund after winning the Champions League. So, he would have played with.
Like Jamie Redknapp.
Yeah, I was thinking he might have played with Owen. No, Owen would have played with him. He would have that year, wouldn't he? So he could have played Michael Owen. Takes you to like...
But then you've got that United team even, haven't you? Into like...
Or Patrick Berger and then Portsmouth. Scenic route.
That's a very...
And Kevin Prince-Boateng. Kevin Prince-Boateng. He was at Portsmouth.
Yes.
I don't think the same time.
Yeah. Who else did he play for?
Who?
Kevin Prince-Boateng.
He played for Milan, Barca.
Barca.
He was sick.
Okay. Which way are we going? Should we go Kevin Prince-Boateng just to...
It's Patrick Berger first.
Berger.
He wasn't at Portsmouth the same time as Boateng. No chance.
Oh.
No.
No.
Like, right. Well, even if we went for Berger, he was there then, like Crouch. Probably no one that good, is there?
It's before that. It's before Crouch. It's like,
are you sure?
Cannon.
Crouch was there twice, though, wasn't he?
I remember the kit. I think it's before Crouch.
Okay. Yeah, let's swear. Yeah, let's swear that Portsmouth one then.
You should go with Owen.
Go on.
Michael
Owen. And then that takes you to the United team. So who's in that United team? Like Vidic, Ferdinand, Giggs, Scholes.
We've got to get to Barca, don't we?
Yeah, but then you then play Ronaldo. And then you could go from there almost as well.
Would Ronaldo play for any players who played for Barca though?
Good point.
You could go somehow get an Ajax route.
I was thinking that was like you'd be on.
Yeah. Why Donny Ajax? Van der Beek. Van der Beek played for Ajax and United. But not the same.
That'd be the same time as Owen. Michael Owen, though.
Yeah. But then you...
Unless you go... You go Ronaldo and then go Juventus. Anyone at Juventus that would have played for Barca. Was he there at the same time as Arturo Vidal?
Was that when Dick De Gea was in goal? Because De Gea would have been played long towards...
Van der Sar.
Was he not?
No.
It was Van der Sar. Oh, was he?
Yeah. De Gea came in like... Was it 2014, was it? Like that. It's hard, this one, isn't it?
Michael Owen. It is.
It's getting to Barca, and it's current Barca as well, which is the problem, isn't it? You need, is anyone in that Barca squad that has played anywhere else? Obviously, you've got, De Jong...
Rafinha played for Leeds, if you can go that way.
He could. He played for Leeds.
Who were we at? Michael Owen? Yeah, so he must have played with someone who played for Leeds as well.
Who?
He played with Alan Smith at Newcastle, potentially. He played for Leeds at the same time. I know.
You keep getting calls on the Leeds. the same time. Yeah. Like you pick.
I'm getting caught. I'm just
Bobby Moore was at West Ham and he played with real fair. Yeah,
Bobby Moore, he was there. Right, we need a link basically to modern day Premier League to get to like Jack Harrison or Rafinha. Well, like who was at like Patrick Bamford or one of the Leeds players? There's not real big Leeds players that time, is there?
Callum.
I reckon we work backwards. Oh, if you go Lamal, Yamal.
Lewandowski. That opens up a
good show.
Good decade of teams.
Yeah.
You can go all the way to Dortmund, Shinji Kagawa.
Gundogan.
Yeah, Kagawa would have played as somebody at United who could have played Owen.
No, he wasn't there.
Anyone at Stoke? Owen at Stoke.
Yeah. So we're getting further away, yeah.
Where did that Arnautovic go? Didn't he go to a big team like Bayern Munich or something?
No, he was at Inter Milan, wasn't he?
Lewandowski at Bayern. Bashing Schweinsteiger at Bayern. Would they have been there at the same time, or would Schweinsteiger have left by then?
He'd left, Danny, because he came to United.
But Lewandowski still been at Dortmund.
Cruz.
He would have been at Real Madrid, aren't
we? Yeah, but Owen also played for Real Madrid.
Yeah, both at the same time, you divvy.
Yeah, but it might be a question for Owen.
Sergio Ramos, was he there by the time? Was he at Real Madrid at that young?
Sergio Ramos never played for Leeds, Max. What are you talking about? Hey, get with it, lad.
I reckon if we go the Lewandowski route, we can pick like a Gundogan, for example, and then we're in the Premier League. Calvin Phillips.
So he's getting Gundogan to who I win.
Did Calvin Phillips play with Rafinha?
He will have.
Yeah. So then, because you can go, if we can get to Calvin Phillips from Michael Owen, we're there.
I think if you go Kagawa. Oh, Gundogan, you can go. Oh my god, I just had it. I just lost it immediately. Oh, Vincent Kompany. Then you can probably get to Carlos Tevez.
I'm totally lost.
At Manchester United.
Max is just reeling off players.
It's 6 degrees. What is it? Reza Owen.
Is it not? Like, could we not?
Rooney, Tevez, would he even play? Would he be at the same time as Tevez or not?
Who?
United.
Owen.
No. Rooney,
I don't think so.
Rooney, Tevez. Kagawa, 11. Too much.
Because Owen came in like to replace Ronaldo, didn't he? And Tevez had already gone.
So when we said Ronaldo before?
No, but I was saying it would link. Someone in that team would link. Like a Ferdinand, for example.
Scholes must link.
Ferdinand played for Leeds. You feeling me?
We need to get from Rio Ferdinand at Leeds to Calvin Phillips at Leeds somehow.
It's too big of a gap.
It's ridiculous.
Are you 10 minutes or? We've passed the 5 minutes yet?
Yeah.
The kit man at Leeds.
Are we sticking with Michael Owen? I think Michael Owen might be the issue.
Would Owen have been at Stoke at the same time as Bojan Krkić?
Yes.
The issue is definitely picking Carlos Riedler. Since when did he get a show? No one's ever heard of him. He was absolutely shite for Liverpool.
Would Carlos Riedler have played with Jamie Carragher or Stephen Gerrard?
That's what I was thinking. Like Carragher,
deeper into Liverpool.
They bring you quite recent, don't they?
Yeah. Then you could go. He finished in 2013. So he would have played with Suarez. Suarez,
you could go Riedler, Litmanen played at Ajax with potentially Clarence Seedorf, who played for AC Milan. Boateng. I've got it.
You've just done a little loop. It's meant to be a straight line.
Stupid game.
It's a great game, actually. Right.
It is good. I mean, like, yeah, I must admit.
I've gone on ChatGPT to see if I can get it.
I've got it with Suarez. Suarez, Ter Stegen, Barca, Ter Stegen, Yamal. So read the Carragher, Suarez, Ter Stegen, Yamal.
That's what you're going for?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go for. And then Griffin's going to come up with his bow thing one.
Right.
Yeah, I like it, Max. I was just about to say that as well. So,
yeah, ChatGPT is one. It's included managers, which is a problem. But they've got Karl-Heinz Riegler. Oh, no. That's going Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. That's not the right player. Scrap it. Right. Well done, Max, for getting it right. Don't trust you on that. Maybe next time I should just be fact-checker. You can chat and I'll check everything as we go. But yeah, I thought that was quite a good game.
Good luck checking Griffins.
Like Doctor Who, to be fair. Jumping in between times.
Oh, Maverick, mate.
Yeah. I hope Alan Smith has a good season this year, to be fair.
He's played with Kevin Prince-Boateng, I think.
Right. Now let's move on to Super 6. Right, we'll make this one quick and then we've got a little closing question to see us out. So, first game is Chelsea against Sunderland. What are you going for, Griffin? We'll go you first.
I like Sunderland, I think 1-1.
Right, good shout. Max?
2-0, Chelsea.
Right, we'll go Max, you first for Newcastle Fulham.
2-0. They're right by each other in the table as well. 1-0.
Okay. Griffin?
Yeah, I go 2-0 for Newcastle.
Right, next up is United Brighton.
Well, United are a very, very good team, aren't they? So,
One-one. Griffin?
I think 2-1 Brighton.
Okay, going bold.
Well back.
Griffin, you go again for Villa City.
I'm sure Villa normally do well against City, I think, from memory.
Yeah, but maybe not.
That might be maybe total maybe. Bollocks. Huh? I'll go 2-0 Villa.
2-0 Villa?
They always. Villa always do well at City.
Go on, Max.
I'll go 2-0 City.
Yeah.
Do the reverse.
We'll go Griffin first here, Arsenal Palace.
At Arsenal?
Yeah.
2-0 Arsenal.
Match.
I feel like Palace could do pretty well against them, to be honest. I think they'll match up really well with like how direct Arsenal might play. I'm going to say 1-1.
And last up, it's the Blues against Tottenham.
5-0 Tottenham. I'm only joking. You're at home, right? So these are playing well. They're playing well. 2-1 Everton.
Fair play.
I go 3-0 Spurs.
Come on. Play the game.
You might butcher your average here, Griffin. Do we know what it is after this second performance, Sean?
Do you know what? Make sure, Max, I update this table before next week. It's going out on the socials this week. And then I'll update it with Griffin's terrible score for this week. Right. Thank you again for that, lads. Now I'm going to hand you over to Max to close us off with a little question to get us thinking before we go.
Which one do you want me to?
Whatever you want. Whatever you think's getting the most clips out of Griffin. What's your favourite?
Name three geniuses.
Mahir or Burger King.
Yeah. Okay.
Who sang in the summertime? Jerry.
I've got two. If you don't like the first one, we can move on to the second one. But the first one is, if you had to get rid of one football cliche, what would it be? If you need an example of a football cliche, I'll give you one.
Go on, what's the example, just so we know what like line to go on?
He's got a good touch for a big lad. I'm saying that one for Tosh. Yeah. Just because he's massive doesn't mean he should be shit at football. He does have a good touch for a big man, to be fair.
He does.
He slows everything down, doesn't he? Never seen a man have so much time on the ball. Do you know, I don't even know if this is a cliche, but it's kind of become one of those sayings that people say now. I feel like most cliches come from like obviously back in the day maybe, but like anything Roy Keane says now is like becomes a cliche that everyone copies. So like, do you know the whole like, it's his job, you know, like that.
It's his job, yeah.
That's become a thing now where like, you're never allowed to celebrate anyone doing well because it's their job. Like, instantly, it's like, even if somebody plays exceptionally well, their job instantly changes to do that now. Like, do you know what I mean? So if you've got like a player that's become very good all of a sudden, his job's changed, you'll never get, no one will get the credit anymore. And I think that probably does me head in where we're not allowed to be happy at footy and celebrate stuff because Roy Keane says if a footballer does something well, it's his job. So everyone stops celebrating. So yeah, done with that.
I know it's on the list I sent you, Sean, but I've never liked It's the Magic of the FA Cup. Mostly because, like, it's just because, like, when they refer to it, it's like years ago where like that stuff happened. It's the Magic of the FA Cup. I don't think it just doesn't happen anymore. And anything is the Magic of the FA Cup. It could be a Championship team beating a Premier League team and saying it's the Magic of the FA Cup. It's not.
Yeah.
It's just that the Premier League team decided to rest 8 players and the Championship team like are on form. Like, I mean, if someone like, you know, the 6th tier of English football beats the Premier League side, then yeah, whatever. But
like,
I mean, it just gets thrown around too much.
Yeah, I think maybe it is thrown around too much. But you have like when Marine played Tottenham at home, that is the magic of the FA Cup because that can't happen any other time. Like, fees, not that they won, but they should never cross paths in any walk of life. Like, Mourinho was in the dugout at Marine. But yeah, I think your point, Max, about like the magic of the FA Cup, if you're a kid, you don't know what that is. Because you've never had any moments like that, really, have you? Because, as you say, no one really values the FA Cup anymore. The big teams don't. No. So, where does the magic come? So, I do understand what you mean now. And people do, like, what's the word? Like, you look back on the FA Cup with, like, rose-tinted glasses, don't you? Where people make out that it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
When, realistically, obviously it gives you some nice moments. Liverpool more than ever, in fact. But, yeah, I probably agree with you. What about you, Griffin?
Yeah, I'm honestly trying to think of one, and like I've actually got Google up as well, and none of them are screaming out. One thing I would say is that Peter Drury on Sky, his commentary is essentially only cliches. It's like he's got a list of them at the start of the game in particular. And that does me head in. So if we could give that as an example, then I'll get with that.
He's only been commentating on like your side for like the last year, hasn't he?
He got Sky. He's always been about though. He's a very, very good commentator. I like him.
He's still Champions League, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he does. He's done the American NBC Sports for the past few years. To be fair, I think why Sky picked him up was like he was getting quite a lot of like social media presence because it was like, why have we got Martin Tyler commenting on the big games and America has Peter Drury?
But he'd do the big like soliloquies, wouldn't he? Like, there was that Roma game, wasn't there, where he did the big like something out of a Shakespeare play. That's where he'd get loads of views on that, so they got him involved. But I understand what you mean. In the moment, like, I do think that commentary is unbelievable. I mean, like, commentary is quite a hard thing to do, I'd imagine.
He comes out with some very good lines, don't get me wrong, but it's more like the start of the game when he's like building it up, like, you know, Liverpool Arsenal is like a clash of the Titans and all this. It's just like, just get on with it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can't really think of another one, to be honest, so I'll have to go with that. Shut that baby up now.
It's the bell. So,
it's going out live. Millions of followers.
My mic was turned off.
I think sometimes your mic doesn't connect, you know, and then You're talking through whether you're using it.
Sorry. He didn't say it of any value anyway, so don't worry about it. Are we doing the last one, Max?
I've already got to go, to be honest.
All right, fair enough. See you next week. Right, yeah. Go on then. We'll call it a day then, lads. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I hope you two did as well, and I hope anyone listening at home did. As always, please get on the socials, watch our clips, share them, give us a follow if you can. We're kind of steadily building up followers, so it's quite nice to see that we are getting a little bit bigger. Yeah, nice one, Griffin, for joining us.
My pleasure. Stay classy.
Nice one, Max, as well.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. And thanks, Griffin.
Until next time, Griffin. It's been a blast.